I heard of a man who went to the doctor, and he had a really weird complaint. So the doctor sat down across from him, and he said, "What's the problem?" And the man said, "Doc, I'm hearing voices." The doctor said, "Have you gone to your psychiatrist?" And he says, "I don't have a psychiatrist. You're the only doctor I know. You're the only man I trust. And so I need to tell you, I'm hearing voices, and they're coming from my leg." The doctor said, "What? From your leg? No way." So he said, "Oh, somebody," but he put on, he did his doctor thing. He doubted he was going to find anything, but he put on a stethoscope. You guys would like this, you healthcare professionals out here. And he put it down by the gentleman's knee, and sure enough, he hears, "Hey, Doc, can I borrow $5? Doctor's shocked. He pulls back. He doesn't know what happened. And so he moves his stethoscope a little farther down, down to the man's shin. And he hears, "I don't have any money. Can you loan me $10? The doctor is just now scratching his head, so he moves even farther down to his ankle. And the ankle says, "Hey, Doc, do me a solid. You got a 20? Man pulled back. The doctor pulled back, scratched his chin, and he said to the fellow, "Well, I've got some bad news." And the man said, "What is it, Doc?" And he says, "It looks to me like your leg is broke in 3 places. Ho-ho! Didn't see that one coming, did you? Yeah. Okay. Somehow we're going to work that around and bring it into our message today of talking about how we get stuck in dark valleys, don't we? We get stuck in dark valleys, and there are all kinds of valleys that get us stuck. Today we're going to be talking about valleys of failure, where we get ourselves into a place where we have failed and we begin to wear that identity of being a failure. That we begin to hear this voice of condemnation that begins to tell us that we have no hope, and how that makes our valleys darker and the getting through those valleys all the harder. And yet we find ourselves in those places, and oftentimes that's exactly where maybe you are today. Maybe even this time of being isolated has brought that back, that with this quietness that we have, this slowed down pace that we are dealing with, maybe that voice of condemnation begins to speak even a little bit louder. You're wasting this time of being slow. You're not growing the way you ought to grow. This time's going to be over and you're going to have nothing to show for it. And that voice that condemns begins to speak even a little bit louder. This strange voice of condemnation doesn't come from our leg, but it's a strange voice nonetheless. Maybe it's not this time that you're feeling it, but we've all heard those voices, that voice which kind of whispers in your ear that you'll never measure up, or you deserve to be treated this way, or why would anyone love you? Maybe you've heard those words, and maybe those are words that you have had spoken over you in the past, and so they have a way of kind of replaying through your mind at times when you get into a place of hurt and when you get into a place of being broken, and you hear those words, again, voice of condemnation that begins to speak into us, that begins to darken that valley that we're walking through and make this process all the harder as we seek to move through it. Or maybe you've heard those voices as they speak about your relationship with God. Now, of all places in our life, our relationship with God should be a place of great security and great confidence of our being loved. And yet it is in those places that we hear those murmurings still, don't we? How could God love somebody like you? Or maybe you've heard this, you've blown it. You always do, and you always will. You know, God's probably tired of your act. He's probably turned his back on you, or worse. Maybe you heard this one, that he is really angry with you, and you got to know that punishment is on its way, that God, the Avenger, is coming to avenge your sins on you because of what you have done. That's what that little voice, that voice of condemnation, begins to speak into us, and it just clouds our relationship with God, and it confuses our heart, and it darkens our life as we now feel not only isolated and cut off from the world around us, but now we're beginning to feel the sense of being cut off and isolated from God. And maybe we even feel safer there because we're afraid of what God may do because we hear that voice that condemns. What do we do when we've blown it and all we hear is that voice of condemnation? You know, what do we do when we're stuck in this dark valley that appears that there is no way out of? What do we do when we feel riddled with insecurity because we feel that God has rightly turned his back on us because somehow, I don't know how, but somehow I feel it in my bones and I know it's true that somehow I'm afraid I'm just defective. If ever you've heard those words, I've got both good news and bad news for you. The bad news first. The bad news is you are defective. Yeah, we all are. That none of us are perfect. All of us are prone to mistakes. All of us are prone to selfishness and prone to discouragement and prone to frustration and anger. All of us are part of this human race, and that's part of who we are. But that's not all of who we are. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 3, 23 and 24, we hear that we're all in the same boat. This sad state that we're in is true for all of us, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But here comes the good news. Here comes the good news that we see coming right out of that same thought. As Paul was writing this, as Paul was maybe even speaking this, that it was in the same breath, that while this is true, this is the status that we're in, that we all have all sinned and we all fall short. The good news is, and all, speaking of you, me, and everyone, have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now hear that. All have been justified freely by his grace that came through Christ Jesus. This is the good news. That while we often recognize that we are prone to mistakes, that we are prone to the selfishness, we are prone to disappointment and discouragement, we are prone to anger and frustration and all the rest, that we are still loved by God and there is still a forgiveness that begins to flow through. But yet, why is it we only hear that voice of condemnation? Why is it that speaks so clearly to us when this other reality is also in the midst of what we are trying to do in life needs to be the bedrock upon which we build? It's that voice of condemnation that the enemy of your spirit and mine comes to try to kill, steal, and destroy, to tear down, to begin to make this dark valley we're walking through, the dark valley that we get stuck in. The one who comes and says when we fail that we are a failure, that when we fall we'll never get back up, that when we've blown it, it's all over, we don't even need to try any longer, it can't be fixed. That voice that says what is what will always be. So give up. Don't try. It's over already. You know, I like to call this the Humpty Dumpty trap. And this is the way a lot of us think, don't we? Maybe you remember that old nursery rhyme from your childhood. Anyone remember the Humpty Dumpty rhyme? Yeah. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Is that how it goes? It's been a while since I said that one. But this is the deal. This is what it's about, so that when we fall, we have that Humpty Dumpty rhyme going on in our head. And when we screw up, when life is broken, when our relationship with God maybe gets fractured, when we feel that distance, that maybe we're even beyond God's reach because of all of our humanness and because of our brokenness and because some of that yuck that has happened to us or some of that yuck that we have brought upon ourselves, we get the sense that because I am broken now, there's no fixing this. But again, here's the bad news, the good news. Yes, we're all broken. But the good news that comes again out of Romans 3 tells us that there is a fix. Now, if we're counting on all the king's horses and all the king's men, we're going to be in trouble too. But we're not counting on the king's horses and king's men. We have been invited instead to trust Jesus. And this is where I want to take us to this passage in Colossians 1. Because in Colossians 1, Paul is beginning to lay out for the Colossian church what it is for us to believe in Christ and what a difference our life can have if Christ is in our midst. Now again, Paul is writing to a first century church, people who didn't have background, weren't raised in the church because the church had just started. Jesus had just a generation before been crucified and resurrected. And now what does it mean to walk in step, following in the life of Jesus and living out of the life of Jesus in the world around us? And yet, in right at the very beginning there in chapter 1, Colossians 1, 13 and 14, tells us what Christ is all about and how this fits into our Humpty Dumpty trap to turn it on its head to say that no, just because we're broken doesn't mean that we stay that way. Because in Colossians 1, 13, it says, "For he rescued us," speaking of God, "he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us instead into the kingdom of his Son whom he loves." Verse 14, "in whom we have redemption," in Christ. Not only are we brought into his kingdom, but we now in Christ have redemption, which is, Paul would say, the forgiveness of sins. Here, that's the good news for our Humpty Dumptyism that we often go around with, that we think that because we're broken that we'll always remain broken. Yes, we will always remain human, but that and through our life in Christ, what Christ has done on the cross, that forgiveness is now available, that failure is no longer final because forgiveness of sins have been ushered in. This becomes the key for us to begin to see through the dark valley that we're in and not have that dark valley encompass us and hold us because of the forgiveness of sins. When our sin has led us, when our faults and our failures have drawn us into this place of mess and dark valley, we need to know that we are not stuck there. We are not serving a life sentence of being stuck in this valley, but that instead, because of what Christ has done, again, hear that he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And instead, he has set us free now and redeemed us through the forgiveness of sins. And here's the good news. This is something that, again, maybe you need to hear this morning. That while that voice of condemnation says, "See, you sin, therefore now God is your enemy," what the scripture tells us is exactly the opposite. It is because of this sin and brokenness that puts God in the position of being our redeemer. Now again, that voice of condemnation won't tell you that. It will say he's angry with you, he is disappointed with you, he's turned his back on you, he's abandoned you, all these things which are none of them true. But in fact, because of our sin, it means that God has now come to be our redeemer. That is the point of the cross. That is the point of what Jesus went to the cross for, was so that he would die for the forgiveness of your and my sin. To think that because we have sinned, now God is angry at us, and then what is the cross all about? No, the cross is about his demonstration of how far he will go for us, that this becomes the forgiveness point, that it is now done already. Even before you sinned, that forgiveness was already available. Even as you were sinning, that forgiveness was available. It has never been taken away. You have never been discounted. You have never been deemed unworthy of it by God because of your humanness. No, he has brought this cross to be the central piece of how we see the world, how we see God, how we see ourselves, that we are human, that we are frail, that we do fail, that we do sin, and yet God says, "I have something better for you." This is how Jesus even saw his own mission. We'll be talking about communion here in just a few moments. And even in his own words, as he is celebrating that first communion, that Passover meal with his disciples, that he turns into the instituting of the Holy Communion meal for us, when he talks about the cup, which they all then share, he talks, "And this is my blood that is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Even in that moment, the night before his crucifixion, he is already saying, "See, this is the whole point, that I'm going to shed my blood tomorrow, that I will die tomorrow. Yes, I'll be raised in 3 days, hallelujah, but I'm doing that for the purpose that sins might be forgiven." We hear that voice that condemns us, that voice that says you're a failure, and the implication is that you will be rejected because you're deficient, because you're a failure. But that's not what scriptures tell us that God is saying. It is because of that that he comes to redeem. It is because of that that he comes to remake. It's because of that that he comes to enter into our mess to help lead us through this dark valley. Imagine, for those of you who are parents, you've seen it. We've all seen it, haven't we? That when our little kids, our toddlers, begin to toddle, you know, they're crawling for a while. It's wonderful. You've got kids, you know, little ones. They can't move. It's great. You can lay them down and you can walk away, and they're still there when you come back. It's wonderful. But then the day comes when they begin to crawl. Oh my gosh! Then world has changed, because now you've got to watch them all the time because you don't know where they're going to go. But there comes a day when they move from crawling to taking that first step. And oh, isn't that exciting? Remember seeing that for the first time, that first step they take. And what did they do as soon as they took that first step? Anyone? Yeah, every one of you. They all fell. They all fell. Now again, put yourself in a position of a parent when you see that child fell. Do you come out at that child and say, oh, what a loser you are, I can't believe. You took one step and you fell on your butt. No, what we're saying is we're screaming, hey, come here, look, my child just took his first step. That's how God is with us, I believe. I think that when we come to this place, when we fail, it's not that a surprise to him. He's going to trumpet our successes. He's going to usher in times of forgiveness. He is going to begin to coax us and coach us to grow through and to get better. But that voice of condemnation is going to constantly try to keep us at bay. So finally, my last piece here would be this, is to share this idea that comes out of the 23rd Psalm once again. There's a piece in that we often overlook, because we love that imagery of the sheep and the shepherd, and this one kind of changes the imagery. But he talks about how that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Now again, that's not sheep imagery here for us any longer. For those of us who feel that sense of attack, feel that there's voices around us that are constantly tearing us down, there are those around us who would seek to undermine us, it is there that our Heavenly Father comes to speak and prepare the table for us. What is King David saying here in this? Basically, what he's going to say is that despite all of our failings and all the voices of condemnation around us, it is God who is preparing a way for us. He invites us to his table, and he provides what is on that table. We don't have to measure up or bring what we're going to put on the table. It is God who provides the table. He invites us to it, even in the midst, even if we're surrounded by the voices of condemnation. It is our Heavenly Father who provides this forgiveness and invites us to the table. So this morning, as we wrap up, I want to wrap up with this thought, that while God invites us to this table, it is for the purpose of us coming close, of blocking out those other voices, of hearing that voice of assurance and of love and of grace that has been extended to us, that though we may find ourselves in a dark valley, we don't need to allow that voice to continue to hold us down, but instead listen to the voice of this good, good Father who loves us and invites us to join him in the sacrament of forgiveness. So this morning we're going to celebrate communion. We'll do it together. So as you are present at home, if you have your elements close, I will invite you to bring them, because what we're going to do is pray over these and yours and all of ours together. Whatever it may be that you are using this morning to represent the body of Christ, which was broken for you, and whatever you would use to represent the blood of Christ poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins, that we're going to be washed in that and cleaned by it and set free by it from that burden of guilt and that burden of condemnation that holds us down. And we're going to move through this valley of failure, not on our own strength or because we're so cool, but because of God's grace, which is extended to us as we come to the table.